Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And our topic today in our mindfulness journey is grasping, or something that the Buddhists call the four attachments. And they are the obstacle to freedom, to liberation, to living with integrity. But before we talk about those things, I have a couple of comments I want to make. First, I want to say how much I am thinking about and concerned for the people in Milwaukee and the people in the path of Hurricane Laura. And my heart and thoughts are with you all in both of those places. Second, I want to mention some other work that I've been doing on Transformation Talk Radio and will be doing so that if you can't, you just can't get enough of listening to me talk about mindfulness, there are other opportunities. So yesterday I was on Brittany Miles' show, and her show is a podcast called Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. And you can still access that show. You can find it on my Facebook page, which is McGuire Life Coach, or you can come to Transformation Talk Radio's website and find it by looking up Brittany's name. And in the archives, you can find that show. We talked about stillness, about the challenges and the rewards of finding stillness in our daily lives. Second, on Monday, Monday, August 31st, just this coming Monday, I'm really excited. I get to be the guest host for Dr. Pat's show. I'll be her guest host in the 10 a.m. hour. That's 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time. My guest, I've invited a woman named Dr. Diane Goodman. And Dr. Goodman is an author, an activist, and a consultant who works on issues of diversity and social justice. And we're going to focus on the particular challenges of this cultural moment and address the work that white Americans in particular can do to bring conscious awareness to deeply held beliefs we have about race, and then talk about how we can work to support social change for the purpose of equity and inclusion. So that's this Monday on Dr. Pat's show at 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be with Dr. Diane Goodman. And then next week on my show, Nothing But Now, but in the series I'm calling Voices, I'll be interviewing DJ Menefee. And DJ is the Vice President of Enrollment at Susquehanna University in Pennsylvania. DJ is an African-American man, a senior leader in higher education, a husband, a father, and he's going to talk about his foundational experiences and his beliefs. He's going to talk about the value of lifelong learning and leadership in higher education at a particularly difficult moment in higher education, as in so many parts of organizations, institutions, industries in our country and around the world. There are unique challenges in this moment. And then he's going to talk about leadership in general through the lens of current events and systemic racism. So I hope you'll find Brittany's show from yesterday where we talked about surrender and stillness. I hope you'll hear me on Monday on Dr. Pat's show at 10 a.m. and then join me next week when I talk to Mr. DJ Menefee. So our topic today is grasping. And when I hear the word grasping, I think of that physical action. You know, there's also the mental action of kind of getting something. Oh, I grasp it. But I just go straight immediately to the grabbing, right? And I can imagine that I grasp something when I think it's going to fall. I picture my mother grasping me by the shoulders when she thought I was going to run out into the street. I think about myself grasping the blanket more tightly when I'm cold or when I'd like to just, you know, pull it over my head and shut the world out, right? There are a lot of ways in which we grasp, and a lot of those that I just described, of course, come from fear or danger or wanting to hide from the world. So today we're going to talk about what we grasp and the grabbing sense and holding on to sense, what happens to us when we do that, and how to do the opposite. In other words, how to let go. But first, we're going to breathe. So we do this breathing exercise at the beginning of every show so that we can be calm, so that we can be clear and so that we can be focused. And I say we, and I really do mean you and me, but I really mean me too. So because this has been very helpful to me in being calm, clear, and focused during the show, doing something that, I'll be honest, makes me nervous. So that's why I do it, but I also do it for you. And I hope you're using this practice in other parts of your daily life, because this breathing practice can be incredibly helpful when you're trying to go to sleep before you go into what you know will be a stressful situation, just throughout the day to bring some calmness into your life if it isn't already there. So what do? First, we focus on the inhalation and pausing at the top after we inhale. We also try to make the exhalation slightly longer than the inhalation. And the easiest way to do that is to count. So maybe I count to 3 or 4 on the inhale and then 4 or 5 on the exhale. And then we use particularly Lori Cameron and mindfulness educators process called 3 deep breaths. And in that first breath, we simply focus on the feeling, the sensation of the air coming into our bodies and leaving our bodies. And then for the second breath, we place our attention any place in our body where we feel tension, and we try to relax in that spot. And then for the third breath, we're really going to pay attention to our intention for this moment. What do we need right now? So 3 deep breaths. Always like that, you know, need a little extra one. First breath, just pay attention to your breathing. Second breath, relax. And third breath, what's your intention for right now? Thank you for joining me with that. So today our topic is grasping. The Buddhists talk about grasping in the context of what they call the 4 attachments. And the 4 attachments are those aspects of our mental processes that keep us bound to this world and that often dominate us. And they keep us from being free. They keep us from our integrity. They keep us from liberation. They're the barrier between us and that opportunity. So for the Buddhists, there are 4 specific attachments, and different practices will talk about this in slightly different ways, but here's the one that I was looking at. So there is the attachment to sense objects, and particularly the kind of the physical sensations and the physical experiences of pleasure and desire, although all of these could be in the realm of desire. There's the attachment to opinions and views. There's the attachment to rituals, and there's the attachments that we have to ideas of self. So today we're going to talk about what we grasp at of these kinds of attachments, what happens when we do it, how we can let go. So what do we grasp at? That's what I want you to be thinking about. What are you attached to such that when there's fear or anxiety or stress on the horizon, you grab at something? What is that thing? So as I said, you know, if it's a sense object, it might be pleasure, right? Or at least the perception of pleasure. We like to feel good, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good. But when it becomes an attachment, it can also become a barrier to liberation. And we might think of this in some kind of particularly pernicious ways that people have those attachments. Attachments to drugs or alcohol or sex or shopping or binge watching television. Those things that are sensory, give us sensory pleasure, but also may be a barrier to our liberation. Opinions and views that we hold attachments to. Obviously, in this most political of political seasons, we can think about all of the various kinds of opinions and beliefs and views that we might be attached to or that we see others around us attaching themselves to. But sometimes I think it's helpful to think about, what's the smallest opinion I have? You sometimes see this as kind of a joke thread on Twitter where someone will say, I think grape jelly is the devil's work. Fight me, right? So that's something I have. It's a very small, trivial thing. I think grape jelly that you find in restaurants is pretty hideous. So I could say that might be the smallest opinion I have. And the joke might be, you know, fight me on it. I don't really care that much. But really, all of us do, if we think about our daily lives, the things that one way to notice these attachments to opinions and views is, what do other people we live with do that irritates us? What is the annoyance, the light left on, the cap left off the toothpaste. Those are some of those attachments. They get in our way. They annoy us. They trouble us. And so whether it's very, very tiny or the big picture issues of the universe, we have a lot of attachments to opinions and views. Rituals. Now, when I hear the word ritual, of course, I tend to think of religion, and there may be rituals around religious practices that could actually be a barrier. I think especially kind of mindless practice of rituals, right? But also rituals, I think of daily life, that if the day doesn't go a certain way, I'm not sure I can have a day worth living, right? And I'm going to be very sad just because things kind of got off track, and I can't bring myself back from that. So that is a kind of ritual or attachment we might have to rituals. And then ideas of self. I think we see this primarily in the stories we tell ourselves, in those habits of mind that we have beyond our opinions, maybe about the external world, but the ones we have about ourselves. What are the stories we repeat? What are the ways that we talk to ourselves day in and day out that demonstrate to us or illustrate for us those ideas of self that are deeply embedded and to which we have an attachment and to which we will grasp, hold on for dear life if we see a threat to them. So we're going to go to a break. And while we're on the break, I'd like you to be thinking about those four ideas of, or those four types of attachments and which ones you have in your life. We probably all have all of them, but which ones really come to mind as you're thinking about what are your attachments? What are you going to grasp onto in this difficult situation? So we're going to take a break. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amira Beth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit AmiraBeth.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're talking about grasping, the four attachments, the idea that throughout our daily life, we can really, if we start to pay attention, notice those things that we grab onto for dear life, particularly in a stressful situation. So the different kinds of attachments, they might be sense objects, they might be opinions and views, rituals or ideas of the self. So I'm hoping that you're thinking about what kinds of attachments you notice in your life. And so if you listened before, you know what's going to happen next. I'm going to tell you about some of mine and some that I've heard from other people. So sometimes I don't realize that something's an attachment until, I would say it this way, until after I've made myself unhappy about the whole thing. So last Tuesday was an excellent day. It was, the whole week was pretty good, to be honest with you. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and this is an absolutely glorious time of year. It's never really too hot. That part of the season is over. So the weather is beautiful. My partner and I had gone for a walk. I'd had a good meditation practice that day. We'd been to the farmer's market over the weekend, so we had a lot of fresh vegetables in the house that give me an opportunity to cook and experiment a little bit. So it was a day where I was able to do that, where I had a great call with a client, where I did some, we bought a house that needs a lot of work, it turns out, and so we've been doing a lot of work on talking to people on the phone about getting some work done, and going through, you know, kind of the paperwork of daily life and life maintenance. And sometimes those things don't sound very fun, but I kind of enjoy it, especially when I have the space and time to do those kinds of things. So Tuesday felt like a really good day. I also had an opportunity to talk to one of my closest friends that day. So really just lovely, lovely day. So Wednesday, I really realized early in the morning that a kind of dominant thought in my head was, how can I have another Tuesday? Right? In a way, I would say I was grasping onto the feeling of Tuesday, to the sense experience, the sense object of kind of a feeling of pleasure and contentment I felt in my body, the pleasure of the other kind of work that I did during the day, etc. And mostly it was that feeling, though, of contentment and of myself as a content person. So I think there was both a sense attachment as well as an idea of self-attachment at work. But what I was looking for, I think, was a ritual. You know, I was trying to attach myself to, what is the ritual? How can I recreate yesterday today? And one of the things, as I was thinking about it and kind of coming to my senses, realizing that what I was being attached to and trying to recreate the previous day, and what a fool's errand that was. But what was happening, one thing that was happening, is that I was editing Tuesday, right? Because there was a point I realized when I started to finally think more clearly about this, that early, you know, mid-morning on Tuesday, I didn't feel particularly well. I was very, very tired. And I was lucky I had the time and space to take a nap, which is a kind of a weird thing to do in the morning for me. But I slept for about 45 minutes and I got up and I felt much better. But before I went to sleep, and I didn't feel great, I was very tired, and I was also a little bit nervous. I thought, oh, I have all this great stuff I want to do today, and am I going to get to do it, but I don't feel well, right? So by Wednesday, I had really glorified Tuesday as this beautiful day that if only I could find the right way, I could recreate all of that beauty of Tuesday on Wednesday. And in doing that, I forgot the reality of Tuesday. Tuesday wasn't perfect. Tuesday wasn't a pristine day. No Tuesday is ever a Wednesday, is it? And certainly not that particular Tuesday. But you know what worked on Tuesday was that I had let go, right? I had let go of my anxiety about, I don't feel well, I need to take a nap. And I woke up and I had a lovely day. And what, if anything, I needed to reproduce on a Wednesday, it was that letting go, that in a sense, a surrender to let Wednesday be whatever Wednesday's going to be. So I also want to tell you about this other experience I had, which, well, I hope I don't get into too much detail about it. It seems kind of complicated, but I was really aware of it as an attachment experience afterwards. And I want to talk about it because I think it's an attachment to an idea of self that gets kind of wrapped up in a reactive state with another person. So my partner and I have lived in 4 different houses together, and we've had work done on all 4 houses, some more or less. And the house we live in now there's a lot of things we could do to it. So one of the projects we've been at the preliminary stage of is the kitchen. And it's not major. We're not going to move walls or anything. We're not even going to get rid of the cupboards. So we have to make basically 4 choices. What's the flooring going to be? what color are we going to paint the cabinets? What are the countertops going to look like? And are we going to put a backsplash that's different somehow from the rest of it? From the. So we've been going to stores and looking at ideas and samples and paint colors, et cetera, for several weeks. Okay, like 3 months. Since we've been able to go back out to the stores, so maybe only 2 months. And we have settled on, in a sense, we have brought home the samples for a particular countertop, a particular paint color, a particular flooring, and a particular backsplash 3 times. And so last weekend, we went back to the store where we're probably going to end up buying these things. And we'd gotten some information about one of our flooring choices that seemed like it was going to be too much work. Just too much work. I'll leave it at that. And so we thought we would look at another flooring style. And I was feeling good about this, right? I felt fine. But this thing happened, and it had happened the time before. We got into the store. My partner, who's very creative and has a great eye for color, starts bringing samples, and my mood just drops. And this time I'm really aware of it. I feel down suddenly. I feel physically kind of low. I'm just not happy. She sees it on my face, which is very helpful, and she's experienced enough in our relationship to just keep bringing samples. That turns out to be the best strategy there. But I stopped myself long enough to say, what's going on? I said I wanted to come here. I said I wanted to relook at this, but I felt all this resistance. And as I thought about it more, I realized I was really struggling to let go of the samples and the ideas that we'd had the previous time, the combination of flooring and countertops and color, etc. It was like I was in mourning, and I kept thinking about it. What is that about? And I think there were a couple of things going on. I think it was fear-based. I think that when two people in a relationship are making those kinds of decisions together, there is the opportunity for argument, for disagreement, for one person feeling like they've gotten their way, or usually neither person feels like they've gotten their way, and they both feel as if the other person has prevailed somehow. So the opportunity for argument, opportunity for a feeling of loss. And I realized it wasn't so much the color combination that I had liked, although I did like it. It was that resting, that we're done. We're past that. We're not going to argue about this. I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to be resentful, right? It was and what was the idea of myself that I was holding on to also? And maybe holding on to an idea of our relationship, which was that somehow our relationship was threatened by having these disagreements, or that I wasn't clear enough, strong enough, direct enough to be able to prevail, that it was a win-loss situation. Right? I think that might have been the strongest sensation I had, was that, somehow I was in a win-loss situation with her, and that's actually what I did feel. And it was hard because it wasn't coming from her. It was definitely inside me. And I was holding on to that opinions and views and idea of self, so that I was struggling to enjoy what was normally kind of nothing wrong with this process. So that's an example to me of grasping. And the consequence of that was that low feeling that I had, that anxiety that I felt, that resistance to this process. And it took me a while, and my partner's a very patient woman, it took me a while, and she did keep bringing samples. And, the evidence was that we kept talking. We kept talking. She just kept showing me things. What do you think of this one? What do you think of this one? Right? Until I believed the evidence of the reality, which was, we're making this decision together. There's no loss here. There's no winning and losing here. But that's where my mind goes, right? That is my story of myself or my life that I tend to grasp onto. I also had an interesting conversation with a client recently, and she's a person who is absolutely fabulous in so many ways. And but one of her habits of mind is self-criticism and a commitment to the idea that she is a deeply flawed person. So to me, this is an example of an idea of self that she grasps onto, which is that she is deeply flawed. And there's a ritual that she grasps onto as well, which is the ritual of self-criticism. right? So when something arises, particularly, well, it could be anything in her relationship, with family, with friends, at work, she is very quick to see that she has maybe done something wrong, and she grasps onto that idea, and then the ritual begins, of this grasping ritual of self-criticism. And so my challenge for her at the end of our conversation was, I said, you know, to me, what I hear you, when I hear you describe this, it's as if the idea of self, of yourself as deeply flawed, and that ritual of self-criticism, it's as if they're a life raft. And you are being buffeted about in the waves of the ocean, and you are holding on to that life raft of, I'm deeply flawed and I must criticize myself, as if you will perish without them. What would it mean to let go? What would it mean to let go of those two things? And it reminds me of a quote I read recently from Martha Beck, where she said, surrender to the way things want to happen next, even though this often involves a vast and terrifying loss of control. She writes, trust the magic that was born into your soul. And you know, that's a little far out even for me, to trust the magic that was born into my soul. What a beautiful idea. That's a lot for any of us to really take in, I think. But I want to start with, or I want you to be thinking about as we go to break, this idea of surrendering to the way things want to happen next. Right? Whether it's how my day is going to unfold, how my conversation with my partner about a kitchen remodel is going to unfold, whether it is coming face to face with, living with the idea that we can let go of some of our rituals, some of our ideas of ourself, and allow what's going to unfold to unfold. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this idea of these four attachments more in the context of mindfulness and mindfulness practices, and I have a challenge for you. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll see you after the break.
Are you someone that doesn't just want money, but also the freedom, joy, and ease that comes from ending the painful cycle of needing money? Then join Jennifer Bloom for Being Prosperous. Take charge of your money relationship. This 5-week course starts on September 1st at 6 p.m. Central. Sign up at jenniferbloom.com. That's Jennifer, B-L-O-O-M-E.com.
Have you ever wondered how you might feel differently if the books were full of her instead of him? What if your history lesson was filled with powerful women leaders and rulers? As a woman, would you feel more empowered? As a man, would you see women differently? I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on my radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope to see you there.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Living a richly abundant life? Sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Thank you.
everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're talking about grasping and the four attachments that the Buddhists describe. And our four attachments are to sensuous objects, to opinions and beliefs or views, to ideas of ourself. And what was the fourth one? I'm forgetting it, but I'm sure I'll come back to it in a second. I'll look real quick. Rituals, of course, rituals. I love rituals. So that's what we've been talking about. And I've been asking you, and I hope you're thinking about, what are the attachments that you notice in your life? One of them might be, and I think I struggle with this, is so I'm on a mindfulness journey. I'm working to be more mindful in my daily life, bring practices of mindfulness to the course of my day. And one of the things that can happen, though, is that we, I think, can treat mindfulness as a kind of attachment. It can be an idea of self. I'm a person who, right? It can be a ritual. This is how I practice it. It can be an opinion or a view. It's very important. I've got to do it all the time. If I don't do it, there's a problem with me, right? And so I, 2 weeks ago when I was, when we were talking, I mentioned Rodney Smith, who's one of the founders of the Seattle Insight Meditation Society. And he wrote a really interesting article about stillness and the challenges of mindfulness. And one of the things he wrote is that we do tend to treat mindfulness as a kind of strenuous activity. And that when we do that, it really reinforces the ego, right? Which is that critical mind that's always evaluating whether or not we're doing it right and that sort of thing. And he writes that the problem of how to be mindful is actually resolved not through strenuous effort, but by relaxing, allowing, and observing what's already there. Which is in some ways very similar to Martha Beck's comment about surrendering to how things are going to unfold next. It's about allowing, which is a very important concept of how do I allow what is happening to happen with a non-judging awareness. So as you know, when we talk about mindfulness in everyday life, I really appreciated some of the things that Smith said about it, because we do tend to suggest that maybe it can only happen, that kind of coming to being awake in the world through those, say, practices of meditation. And that's very important and incredibly helpful. And I have a challenge for you on that topic in a minute. But he writes, and I think this is very important, that we can recover the sacred in the most remote areas of our lives, right? That awakening is immediately available within all areas of our lives, with our family, at work, in our communities, that one doesn't have to be spiritually prioritized over the others. He says awakening is found not only in its special environments, like the meditation room, or practices, like yoga perhaps, but within all activities, reactions, thought, and emotional responses, right where we are. And that's an incredible opportunity, isn't it? That we can find mindfulness, we can find awakeness in every activity that we engage in. And that is both an incredible opportunity and an incredible challenge, right? This is something that Brittany and I were talking about yesterday on her show about finding stillness, right? Stillness of body, perhaps, but certainly of mind, to bring our conscious full awareness to the present moment without judgment, to not be engaged in, but the challenge, there are challenges to doing that, right? And I really think they are twofold, which is what I discussed with her yesterday. And the one is simply the habits of mind that we have. So in a quiet moment, what do you find yourself doing, right? Are you the to-do list maker? I have a client who says if he spent as much time doing the things on his to-do list as he does writing to-do lists, you know, he'd get a lot more accomplished. He's pretty big on self-criticism too. So that maybe you're a to-do list maker in a quiet moment. I'm a rehearser and rehasher. I go through every conversation I've ever had, and I either remember it and rehash it and think, oh, I should have said, or I wish he'd said, or I rehearse it. Next time I'm going to say, right? Maybe you're someone like my mom, who got really lost in the past. In a quiet moment, she was way down memory lane in a way that wasn't always in her benefit. And it wasn't necessary, and it was usually not rethinking happy memories, but sad ones. Or maybe you're like my friend Rich, who hated being in the car alone without the radio working, because it meant he was alone with his thoughts, and Rich was a worrier, about the future, right? Catastrophic incidents around every corner that he saw. So that's one thing, those habits of mind that make quiet moments difficult for us. But the second one is equally powerful, if not more so, which is when we do find quiet, sometimes what we notice is that hard feelings show up, right? When we allow ourselves to be fully present to the moment, when we allow ourselves to not engage in all of those mental habits of mind, but are quiet, are present, are thinking only about what's happening right now in this moment and trying actually not to think about much of anything at all, but perhaps our breathing or counting or noticing only the sounds that we hear. It's funny and it's surprising that even when we're not actually engaged in some, say, trip down memory lane like my mother is, emotions arise in us. I think typically ones that we've pushed down for a long time. When we allow ourselves that quiet space, we can scare ourselves a little bit. We can be sad and filled with anxiety or shame or hurt. Those are all there. And they're the things that we really often want to avoid. I think that we are fearful about them arising because we fear that they're going to take us over, right? That we won't be able to find our way out of those feelings. But the purpose of the practice is to allow them to arise so that we can allow them to pass. And this is where it's really connected to that idea of grasping and attachment. Because when those feelings arise, whether it's in a quiet practice or in the course of the hustle and bustle of daily life, we resist them, we're afraid of them, we push them away because we are afraid of what it means to grasp them. And we do. We have that habit of grasping, right? What happens? Maybe I indulge in the sensory pleasure of nursing a wound, right? Going over it and over it again in my mind, or I reinforce opinions and beliefs about my own limitations or another's limitations, right? Like my client Annie, who in a quiet moment, she's going to grasp onto all that self-criticism. Or like my mom, you might engage in what I think of as her ritual retelling to herself or others of stories of the past, of ways in which she's been hurt or shamed. Maybe we hold on to ideas about ourselves, right? And particularly the idea that we are less than, that we are not good enough, that we are insufficient just as we are, which is the primary idea that we want to confront, bring to conscious awareness, and shift away from this idea that we are not enough just as we are. So I have a 5-minute challenge for you. I think I can explain it in fewer than 5 minutes. First of all, the challenge is to find 5 minutes. Now, if you're already a person who is meditating every day, congratulations. I think that's fantastic. But some of you I know are not. Maybe you're doing some of the things we've talked about before of finding those quiet moments when you're making the bed, when you're doing something that's maybe only 1 or 2 minutes long, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, washing the dishes, washing the cat bowl, and you're bringing your full attention to that moment without judgment. You're giving your mind a break, a rest. And those are great habits to get into and practices to engage in because it expands our capacity for quiet. It helps us notice also where our mind goes in quiet moments. What are those attachments we tend to run to? But let's push ourselves, shall we, and go for that 5-minute challenge. So I know the first challenge is, can you find 5 minutes? I'm confident you can find 5 minutes. 5 fewer minutes in social media. 5 fewer minutes watching television. 5 fewer minutes making a to-do list. You think about your day. Will you give yourself permission to have 5 minutes alone? Can you give yourself 5 minutes without feeling that you're letting someone down, that you're not working hard enough? Can you give yourself 5 minutes knowing that maybe that voice that says, why aren't you busy? You should be busy. You have so many things to do. You don't have time to sit for 5 minutes. Can you address that voice? Can you say, that's the voice of suffering. That is not the voice of my authentic self. So the first challenge is find 5 minutes. And what are you going to do with that 5 minutes? Right. Well, it would be, and where are you going to spend it? So it would be lovely. And I do this and I'm thrilled that I have the space in my home where I can have a place where I meditate every day. And people bring pictures, important objects, things into that space. Maybe that's, they only use the space for meditation. That's wonderful. But you may not be able to start there. And that's okay too, right? What does Rodney Smith say? We can find these opportunities for being awake in places other than in a meditation space. So where are you going to spend that 5 minutes? Well, here's some ideas. Are you the grocery shopper in your family? Take 5 minutes, add 5 minutes to that practice and sit in the car quietly or in the park on a bench across the street from where you do the grocery shopping. Look for those 5 minutes. Where are you going to find them in your day and where are you going to spend them, right? Is the only time you're alone when you're in the bathroom and you're getting ready in the morning? Add 5 minutes. Not to be the getting ready, but to the being alone, right? Are you a person who goes out for a walk? Add 5 minutes, sit in a quiet place. You can find the 5 minutes. I know you can find the 5 minutes, and I know you should find them, not because it's the right thing to do, but because you deserve it. You've earned the 5 minutes just by being you, just by being here now, because you're enough just as you are. And so this is enough. This is good for you, and you deserve that. So find those 5 minutes. And then what are you going to do? Well, you know, meditation can be hard because our minds are super busy. So it may be hard to really just quiet down. But there are some things you can do that help. Here are some things I do. I start sometimes with a body scan. And it is simple, right? I'm sitting and I pay attention to and I put all my attention on my toes. And I start with my toes and I work my way up. And I try to notice everything I can about them, right? So if my toes can feel the air, I'm noticing the air on my toes, my instep, my ankles, my calves, right, all the way up to the top of the crown of my head. So a full body scan, achingly slowly, right? It could take the whole 5 minutes. You can count, right? 104 is kind of a sacred number in Buddhism. So people do a practice where they count from 27 backwards and you really pay attention to your breathing. Inhale 27, exhale 27. Inhale 26, exhale 26. You can go through that two or three times in 5 minutes, but don't rush. There's no rush. So another thing that people do is a sound meditation, especially if you're outside. You start to notice or pay attention to what are the things that I believe are furthest away that I can hear, all the way to the things that are closest. You do it, and when you do that, you tend to name them, so we use language to them. Maybe the second time you do it, you just try to notice the sounds. And the third time you do it, without naming them, the more you're just in that, it becomes, you start to notice a kind of symphony of sound around you, which is a very interesting experience and a very quieting experience. If you're outside and you're in public, you might think, well, I can't sit there with my eyes closed. That's okay. People often, when they meditate, don't entirely close their eyes. They just let them kind of lower slightly. I put my sunglasses on, maybe. And again, is that a practical idea if you live in particular places? No. Then you find your 5 minutes someplace else. But that's the challenge. Look for those 5 minutes. And what's going to happen? Well, the same things that happen when you do the 2 minute exercises, which is building your capacity for quiet, noticing where your mind and body go, allowing the feelings that come up through your body and in your mind to be there, to look at them, to see them, to acknowledge them, to allow them to pass through you. The other thing that's going to happen, I can pretty much guarantee you, is that the more you do this, the more you will want to do it. And 5 minutes won't be long enough. And you will start to notice the ways in which you can give yourself permission. You can be kind enough and compassionate enough to yourself that you can allow yourself to have 5 minutes and then maybe 10, and you might even get up to 30 or an hour, right? That it is so worth it. And it has such a positive impact on the rest of your day. Things are so much calmer in the rest of your day that time is worth the investment that you're making in it. And let's put it this way, the investment you're making in yourself. So the 5 minute challenge, I hope you will take it. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap things up. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Obert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Obert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? Tune into A Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We discuss the evolution of the modern mind and how the power of awakening, healing, and connecting allows us to step into living a life of love in action. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Get your goddess groove on with me, Laura Hostler. Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I offer you authentic channel messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace. Get your goddess groove on. When the goddess speaks, everyone listens. For more information, visit LauraHostler.com. That's LauraHostler.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to us on, or Mia rather, on Transformation Talk Radio. It feels like us because Zach, the producer, is here, and he, well, technically I could not do it without him, but also I just really appreciate his presence in these, in our, and when I do this show. Very warm and kind presence. So today we're talking about the idea of grasping, that in fear situations, in anxiety situations, and sometimes just as a matter of course in our daily life, we have a tendency to grasp onto things. We have a tendency to grasp onto sense objects that derive pleasure oftentimes, to opinions and views, to rituals, to ideas about ourselves. And when we do that from a Buddhist perspective, we are creating a barrier. We are attached in a way to the world and attached to the world in a way that prevents us from living with integrity, prevents us from achieving a kind of enlightenment or being awake in the world. And so we've been talking about that today, and I hope you've been thinking about what are the things that to which you get attached. And one of the things we've talked about is that, you know, they can be very small things. That's the opinion about whether or not you squeeze the toothpaste tube from the bottom or the middle, right? I know it's a trivial thing. You know it's a trivial thing, but have you ever been angry at somebody about the way they did it? Frustrated, annoyed? Have you taught somebody what's right or wrong about it? I mean, it's not a crime that you do that or that I do that, but it also shows us that I can have attachments to even the smallest things. I can, and when that happens, we know I can make myself unhappy because I'm so attached to a particular way of doing things, to a particular ritual, to a particular idea about myself or some object of pleasure, a sensory pleasure in my life. So that's what I've encouraged you to be thinking about, what those attachments are, and then taking this 5-minute challenge of finding 5 minutes in your day where you can come to a quiet mind, where you can do a body scan, do a sound meditation, allow yourself to come to a quiet place, find those 5 minutes, value yourself enough to allow yourself to have those 5 minutes without telling yourself that you're stealing them from someone else, that you're letting someone down, that you're not busy enough, you're not good enough, that you don't deserve those 5 minutes. And I'm pretty confident that as you do that, and you do it day in and day out, not only will you establish a practice, and you know, when I talk about the challenge there, I'm encouraging you to find any place in your day where you can find those 5 minutes. And I think the more that you do that, what you will come to see over time is that you really want a more established practice, that you want to start your day at 5 a.m., as I have started to do, because it's a beautiful time to meditate. And it works for me. And I can go to a quiet place and I can have a routine that's really helpful to me. It hasn't reached that point where it's a ritual, where I feel like I can't live without it, or that it has to happen in a very, you know, narrow way, right? And, or that I'm doing it in a mindless way, right? It's still real. It still brings me to myself in a very important and helpful way. And so I think if you allow yourself to find those 5 minutes as you can, where you can, over time, this will become a practice that's very important to you, that you will put a kind of a, I don't know, I think of something soft and kind around it and protect it and allow yourself to have it and value yourself enough to have it. So that's what I'm hoping you'll take away today, that you are enough just as you are. And because you are enough just as you are, there's real reason for you to be compassionate towards yourself. And compassion comes in many respects from allowing your mind to get quiet, allowing yourself to feel whatever feelings are going to come up when those moments, knowing that they, if you do not attach yourself to them, that they will pass. So a couple of reminders, if you want more Mary Angela McGuire, and who doesn't, Brittany Miles and I did a show together yesterday on her show, and you can find it on her Transformation Talk Radio page or on my Facebook page, McGuire Life Coach. And I'm going to be back on Brittany's show on September 9th. And we're going to talk about compassion, which, as you know, one of my favorite topics. And then this coming Monday, I have the honor of hosting Dr. Pat's show at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And my guest is Dr. Diane Goodman, an activist, consultant, and author on subjects around diversity and social justice. And that's what we'll be talking about, a very timely topic. And next Thursday on the show, I'll be talking to DJ Menefee, who is the Vice President of Enrollment at Susquehanna University. We'll be talking about his career path, his leadership ideas, and systemic racism in the United States. As you might know from listening to my show before, I'm a life coach. And if you'd like to work with me, you can contact me at McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's my webpage. You can find McGuire Life Coach on Facebook, or you can email me at MaryAngelaMcGuire@gmail.com. That first conversation is always free. We'll talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. I'll describe my process. We'll use that time for a short session so that you can make an informed decision about whether or not this is the right path for you to take. Three more deep breaths. Just pay attention to your breath. Just relax any place where you feel tension. And set your intention for this next hour. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I hope that you will be well, and I hope that you will be kind to yourself and others. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.